Blog Talk Radio.
Darlings, bonjour mes amis, ça va bien? I hope we're all ça va bien. Darlings, it's Mummy Sybil Brunchen, and we're broadcasting to you live from New York City tonight. Darlings, obviously, we're not coming to you from the revolving ballroom, of the Cafe Berlin, high atop the Chrysler Building. You know, darlings, we usually do that, and we have a lovely staff there. By the way, in case you're wondering, our staff is on complete salary. We are not cheating them. They don't even have to apply for unemployment. We're keeping them on, all of the waiters and the maintenance people, the lovely sous chefs, the busboys, all of the hat check girls, the cigarette tray girls. Everyone is on staff, so don't worry there. We're not going to screw them like so many corporations are doing. But we are not broadcasting from there tonight. We are broadcasting separately from our homes. I am coming to you from my wonderful bay window right now, overlooking West End and 105th. And my producer, my muse, my leading lady, none other than Gwendolyn Holden Berry, who is also the CEO and chief odorologist or fragrant matrix of the daughtersofisis.com, is coming to you from her home in Port St. Lucie, right, Florida?
Port St. Lucie.
Yes, of course. And we will talk about St. Lucie in a short while and why she used to drink so much port. But anyway, Gwendolyn is coming to us from a remote. So we're actually thousands of miles apart, but we're sitting next to each other in our bosoms. We are sitting next to each other as bosom buddies, and we're observing an electronic safe distance of closer to 12,000 miles than 12 feet or whatever it is. I want to remind you that all our programs on Here Be Monsters, the Here Be Monsters studio, airing to you from Blog Talk Radio, are brought to you by daughtersofisis.com. That's all one word, daughtersofisis.com. Check it out on your internet tonight. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. And we're going to ask Gwendolyn about a fragrance that might be appropriate. Darlings, well, quick apology for those of you that are tuning in tonight live. And there are people apparently from all over the world tuning in, which is quite exciting now that everyone's out of work. No one is getting home from work from the office late and missing Mummy's opening monologue or whatever. Since we're all sitting at home and we're all being quarantined against our wills, I just want to address the fact that we didn't broadcast last night on a Monday because of technical difficulties with our server. So that was our problem, and we weren't able to get the program on the air, but we got it ironed out tonight, and here we are, Gwendolyn and me and a couple of sound booth people, and we're doing just great. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
I want to invest in whatever entrepreneur is building the guillotines in the Virginia area at this time. That's my first big thing this week. I want to be in on the ground floor of that. That'll make me happy. Other than that, I'm creating whatever I can at my bench right now to send out to people and to my shops that I supply and stuff with stuff to help retard, to kill the contact of virus, but it's not a curative, but we talk time, I believe. And I'm creating a small little collection of specially blended oils that are designed to help revise and re-up your spirit and to lift you during these times when we're so isolated. Because if we've got any head on our shoulders right now, we're home. And we only go out for whatever is necessary, and so much can be dropped off.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's funny. Gwendolyn has hundreds of products on daughtersofisis.com, and all sorts of permutations and commutations of the essences and the oils that she can use to create these wonderful products. But obviously, first of all, aromatherapy is based on science. It's not voodoo. It's not, you know, hoodoo, voodoo, anything like that. It is based on science. You are when you smell something, certainly, and when you taste something, you have absorbed those molecules into your body, and those molecules begin to do whatever they're going to do to your chemistry. And one thing that we can all agree on is, even if a fragrance wasn't necessarily a cure for something, the very fact that it makes you feel happier, that it makes you feel fresher, that it enlivens your senses, is a step in the right direction. Perfume is tens of thousands of years old. Societies all around the world created perfumes and fragrances, and they did it. They believed that it was medicinal, and they were half right. It was medicinal.
It
wasn't medicinal as in curing polio, but it was definitely medicinal in that it transported the psyche and your psychology to a place where you were allowing yourself to feel better and to heal. And 90% of getting better, I feel, is having a great attitude. You can have the best health in the world, but if your attitude stinks, if you're constantly fearful and angry, and I should say futilely angry without purpose, it's fine to get angry as long as you have purpose and you're doing something about it. But if you're just stewing in your own juices, you are not going to be well, no matter how genetically healthy you are. And I can't emphasize that enough. And that's coming from Sybil Brunchen, who is really, Sybil Brunchen spelled backwards is Aunt Eller from Oklahoma. There, try it on your mirror when you steam it up at home. I am Aunt Eller. People say, oh, you're so much like Dolly Levi and Hello Dolly, and you're so much like Mame and Auntie Mame. Yes, I am like them, but I'm really also Aunt Eller in Oklahoma, churning my butter on the front stoops and scolding a silly young girl who has not a thought in her head. You know, that's me. And I'm telling you that it's so important right now with Gwendolyn's help and on your own, in your own home, to get your attitude in a good place and find a way of finding joy and expansiveness right now, because weekly, every week, it has gotten tougher and tougher on us. Gwendolyn, when you think of a fragrance or an essential oil that would put the essential oil, let's finally get the S in essential oil here. What do you think of is an important fragrance that would be really great for us right now to lift our spirits and get us out the door, even when we can't get out the door?
Well, any citrus will do, but you know, the floral that is not only uplifting but intoxicating medicinally is Lang Lang. Yeah. The Lang Lang flower is one of the best, and it's affordable. People can find it on the shelf, and uplifts the spirit. You mix Lang Lang with some pink grapefruit and you have a wonderful, beautiful bouquet of brightness and freshness and cheeriness in the house.
You had me a pink grapefruit right there. I mean, I adore pink grapefruit. It's like, that's a wonderful, and Lang Lang with that would be absolutely fabulous. Are you doing that on your website right now? Do you have that?
Yes. In the next 2 days, I'll have three complimentary oils to go with my Thieves blend, and I'm going to make them at a very special pricing so people can afford right now. And that's called Spiritus Erectus. Is what I call that one. I'm trying to keep it in the vein of those fellows who started the whole thing with essential oils and got people through a long time ago. So I'm using these ancient terms, and Egyptian terms and trying to cull from culture with this. But I call it right now on my bench here, it's called Spiritus Erectus. So that it lifts your spirit and it gives you, it's when your spirit is lifted, of course, you have a sense of hope. And a lot of people right now are very frightened. And Mommy, I wanted to say something too. I wanted to bring up something I did this morning, kind of by accident. I had to talk to someone and on the phone, he wasn't paying attention. So we both talk on Facebook a lot. A fellow who's a historian, an author, and a college professor here locally. And he will just, you know, keep going until he sees you trying to talk, then he'll be quiet. So I did something. I pushed that little video button on Facebook because we're both on, and he answered it. And then I pushed another button, and another one of our people came in. So the three of us sat on Facebook watching and talking to each other for over an hour this morning. I can't tell you how much that lifted all of us up. We were keeping company with one another. And I think lot of people out there on Facebook. And if you're on and you use the little messenger thing and somebody is there, you say, well, how would you like to talk? Let's talk. All you have to do is hit that little video camera button and it'll send a call out, and you don't have to give them the picture. You can talk without it, but it's more fun to be face to face with people right now. And because we're so cloistered, to have the ability to get, you know, 2, 3, 4 people together on a conversation in the middle of the day, I think is wonderful. And I do have to commend Facebook for that tool.
Well, I agree with you completely. This is a time, I think that apropos of what you just said, this is a time for all of us, especially us old birds like Gwendolyn and me and many of my listeners, and you know who you are, to learn how to mute and unmute the computer, your laptop. It took me, I had my laptop for an entire month before I learned that there was a button I pressed to unmute the speaker. So I couldn't understand why all the YouTube videos that I was trying to watch had no sound on them. And I didn't realize that even though I had unmuted them on the YouTube, that there was a button on my own computer that I had to press to unmute the computer. See, and okay, now we're all laughing at Mommy, and that's fine, because that's part of being a comedian, is to allow the audience to laugh and enjoy stuff at your own expense. But let's call a spade a spade. I talk to people all the time on my Facebook page who know how to cut and paste, who don't know how, this is makes me so effing mad. People, I send out notices all the time about joining me on SybilSays.com and SybilBrunchen.com. And I will say, just click on the link. And the link is followed. Click on the link. There'll be a colon, right? Or a semicolon. And then there will be a jumble of letters and numbers and punctuation symbols, which light up. First of all, they're blue, and secondly, they light up when you drag your cursor over it, right?
Yeah.
People do not know that when you click on that jumble that's lighting up for you, that it takes you to whatever you wanted to take you to. Forget me, it'll take you to NASA. It'll take you to a geography lesson on Bolivia. It'll take you to a recipe of Julia Child. It'll take you to a YouTube video of a Broadway show. Those links, do you know that I have people, and by the way, I have 50-year-old people, not people my age. I have people younger than me who are so uncurious that they go, oh, I never understood what that meant. The link, I looked for a picture of a chain because you said a link, and I thought there was a link. And I just want to say, you're too stupid to live. And by the way, I would say that to my own mother if she were still alive. It's like, you're too stupid to live. It's like, what? Do I have to come and change diapers in your home so that you know that you can make a poop? It's like, are you joking me? So I think that apropos what Gwendolyn just said, this downtime socially, work-wise, why don't we all make a list on paper with a pen, since that seems to be a good place to start, if you can't post a list under the Word document on your laptop, then just get a piece of scratch paper and a pen and write down a numbered list of things that might be fun to explore and achieve and learn how to do. Like, I have friends who continue to misspell and misenter things on their Facebook comments. And then what they'll do is they'll post another comment after that one saying, oops, I misspelled the word misspelled. Okay, you don't have to post it. Don't tell us that you posted. Don't post another statement saying I misspelled the word misspelled. But go to the right on your thing, and the three little dots there by your message, by your post or by your comment or whatever, those will light up, and then it will give you in fine print an option that says edit or delete. Put your cursor on the word edit. You'll see the little blinky, whatever that thing is called, and the prompt, I think it's called, and that will go, and you can erase words and respell them, and you can adjust. Do you think that Mummy posts things and comments on things and it's always perfect? I'm doing typos all the time, but I'm at least smart enough to go back and fix it when I see it. And I have often had to go back and fix not only announcements, like our announcement tonight about the show, but also about comments about your recipe, about your new litter of puppies, about everything. I fix my things all the time. You can too. Three words. You can too. Learn how to do it. Let's spend this time accomplishing things, improving things, becoming bigger than we were before the catastrophe struck. I'm not going to go into politics tonight, but we are being led by someone who is the most uncurious, most troglodyte. He is completely incapable of wanting to learn or learning. First of all, he can't learn. And secondly, he doesn't want to learn. He's not interested in what Dr. Fauci says. He is more interested in hearing what that idiot next to him, Dr. Burks, keeps saying, Gwendolyn Burke. Is her name Gwendolyn? It's not. Your name is Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn, what is her name? Gladys or Genevieve or Pixie Doodle?
I have no idea. You know,
you know who I'm talking about.
I do, the blonde who has
B-I-R-X, you know, Burks.
Yeah. She doesn't have bad taste in clothes, but everything else about her is wrong. So I just don't.
Well, I'll
know.
Just tell you, Chuck Todd got her this week on his Sunday morning show, Meet the Press. He nailed her completely, nailed her dead, and she knew it. And when she signed off, you could see she was crestfallen. She knew that she had been, you know, caught with her panties down. And it was like, you know, she was as irrelevant as that Snoozin' Collins from Maine. She was just a doddering old woman who had nothing to say and was not coming up with solutions. So anyway,
no,
I don't want to get on that because
she's been told to keep her mouth shut, but to say whatever they want her to say. It's like going with the talking points. But you know what's really cool, Mummy? I have
what?
Been watching so many, and you get to know who or how people live too, because their house is in the background, or their favorite desk area. I've been watching people like Matthew McConaughey, who I've never really been a fan of, but I am now.
Right.
And people like, who else have I seen? Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin.
Uh-huh.
He's been a prince about this. I mean, so many people, but I'm not going to watch any more Bobby De Niro because all he wants to do is cut off a head. But I have seen so many people, so many Hollywood people, and let alone Jane Fonda, Laura Dern. And what has saved me from getting really upset at a moment's notice, and I can't put this out enough, if you really want to be, you know, see something that makes you feel good, watch the Ellen on Instagram, Ellen's messages every day, or her watching Portia cook. I mean, it's, they're uplifting, they're doing it, and it's not always about being uplifting to either. Like Ellen was a little blue and she was walking, but she said, but you know what, we can't let this get to us. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it's inspiring to see people come out of their way and be themselves completely. And by the way, Matthew McConaughey is talking to people back and forth, Facebooking and Instagram living. And so are a few others. And all of the artists who are performing right now for us, Mary Chapin Carpenter broke my heart the other day in a good way. All of them, they're all on there. Paul Simon, I love the little dude, grew up on the little dude. He's out there singing his best stuff. So, you know, there's a lot to really, you know, this global consciousness of ours is really working for us right now.
I agree completely. Apropos of that, I wanted to say that learning new things is a wonderful thing. Get better on Facebook. If you haven't joined Twitter or Instagram, don't be afraid of them. It might be fun to be on Instagram and Twitter. Mummy is. I am. I'm on both Instagram and Twitter. I post on them as well as on Facebook. They're different formats. It's like saying I enjoy movies and I enjoy theater and I enjoy radio and I enjoy television. It's the same idea. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You've got time on your hands. Why not open your arms to the world and expand? Obviously, a few weeks ago, several weeks ago, when Gwendolyn and I were, you know, watching winter wrap up and getting ready for spring, we suggested all sorts of activities that we thought would be fun for you people to try. Obviously, within a few weeks, the plague descended on us, and activities like go square dancing, learn how to ballroom dance, go quilt, join a quilting bee, go to French lessons for adults, for seniors, go to bingo halls. Well, all those things are no longer possible because we all have to keep our distance from our neighbors. But going out for power walks, walking around your neighborhood and keeping a safe distance, and really power walk. You know, I've been going walking every day, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to get out in the sun, even though it's still chilly here in the Northeast. It's spring is everywhere, and the magnolias are blooming, the pear trees are blooming, the tulips are all up. It's wonderful. Get out of your house, if only for 10 or 15 minutes for a walk. If you can do a 30-minute walk, all the better. If you really are determined, go for an hour walk. Walk around and stroll around and see the world. See the world. Be expansive. I don't think I've ever wanted to put that on a needlepoint pillow more than now. Be expansive. Expand yourself. Expand your curiosity. Expand your mind. Expand your spirit. Expand your senses. Okay? One thing I wanted to do tonight, and I went off on a slight jag. We went off on a slight jag about politics. I wanted to address a couple of things, and that is, oh, by the way, you can call in tonight if you'd like. We'd love to have you call in. The number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. You're now listening to Come Now, Don't Salt, part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio, and our sponsors, of course, tonight and every week, our daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. By the way, we are only doing a special program tonight. Gwendolyn and I have no intention so far of changing our broadcast night to Tuesdays. I think we're going to stay on Monday nights, aren't we, Gwendolyn?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Monday's a good night. I know that there's no conflict with theater when we do Mondays. And of course, there's no theater to be conflicting with and may not be for a few months. But just for right now, we're going to stay with Monday nights. So tell your friends that's 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. And a hello to Jeff Wosley down in Australia, who I guess is listening to us at 8 in the morning or something. I think he's 24 hours away from us right now. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of things. Here's something Gwendolyn will love. Mummy, back Mummy noticed that there was so much on Facebook that was so, there was so much lovely stuff on Facebook and funny stuff and fascinating stuff. George Sweet posting all the time on Facebook, amazing things, beautiful things, creative things, and so many of you others as well. I have so many great friends on Facebook. But I decided to create a page that was strictly feel good. It was only about happiness and joy and beauty and inclusiveness, and it was not going to be controversial or political or religiously controversial, anything like that. I wanted to do a page that had no controversy on it, not because I'm a Melba toast, a milk toast, because you know me, I'm ferocious. I am Madame Defarge. You know, I'm Aunt Eller, but I'm also Madame Defarge. So you want to get me riled up, I will be riled up. But I knew that there had to be a page where people could go and just feel happy. And so they wouldn't have to see a political announcement come up or a thing about Donald Trump or whatever. So I created Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild. And if you're listening right now and you're on Facebook, but you haven't joined us there, please look up in the search window on Facebook, Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild, and join. Everyone can apply. Everyone is accepted. We don't look at your credentials to decide whether you can be a member or not. And the thing about it is that's so wonderful is that people like you post photographs or artwork or pictures of things or recipes or gardening tips or anything they want that is about happiness and joy. As a matter of fact, I made an announcement today on Facebook, on the Lollipop Guild, that I was proposing that Mondays we would make from now on, you can post movies and musicals anytime you want, but I wanted to make Mondays on the Lollipop Guild permanently movies and musical Mondays. And that's the day that everyone can focus on posting their favorite musicals, their favorite Broadway musicals, their favorite movies, movie musicals, or just regular straight movies. And people can comment on them and we can do games involving them. So just bear in mind that from now on the Lollipop Guild, Mondays are going to be anything you want, but particularly movies and musicals. And Fridays are going to be, going forward, flowers and food. So you can post food and flowers any day of the week on the Lollipop Guild, but on Fridays, right before the weekend, I'd like everyone to try and dig up their favorite recipe or their favorite photographs of funny food. Gwendolyn and I will laugh at aspic photographs from the 1940s and 50s. Jello with strange things in it, like Jello molds with hot dogs and raisins and artichoke hearts or something. I mean, post anything that you want that has to do with food or with flowers. You know, Mummy, I'm a gardener. So Fridays, we're going to be, if you want to check out a place that has gardening stuff, come to the Lollipop Guild. People on Fridays will start posting lots of flowers and flower tips and different things about that, okay? But come to the Lollipop Guild if you're feeling at odds with the world and join us there. We have 1,100 members. I'm determined that we're going to have in the next 2 weeks. I'd like to break the number 2,000. So if you are a Facebook member and you have never been to Lollipop Guild, please join us and invite your friends. And if you are on the Lollipop Guild and all of your friends from Facebook haven't joined you there, shame on you that you haven't been sharing the good news and the joy, because that's what life is about right now, is all about it right now, is sharing joy with friends and with family. You know, try and reach out to people, and especially people who are desperate for affection and company. Let's extend our hands and a handshake electronically if we can't do it in person. And Gwendolyn was right. You know, being on Skype or FaceTime with a few friends, having a conference call with friends, that's fabulous. Maybe we're going to start being better friends because we have to do it electronically. And we haven't been, you know, our busy lives have distracted us from basic things like just the basics of friendship. It's kind of interesting how this might be a step forward as opposed to a setback. I often say to all of you that, you know, good news, bad news. In the best of news, there's always something that might not be perfect. And in the worst of news, there often is something wonderful. And this is the time to rise to that. One thing I want to do is I just got a message. Someone reminded me on my Facebook page saying, Mummy, you keep promising to do recipes and we're still waiting for your recipe book. Okay, a couple of things I just want to say. Mummy has compiled all the material she needs for a book. The book is written. It's a question of putting it in order, and it's a question of finding the money to get the rights to all the photographs that I use in my stories. So some of those are in public domain, and that's lovely. And then some of them are not, and I have to research how to go about getting the royalties to post a picture that goes with a certain story and a certain recipe, or I have to say goodbye to that recipe and that story. The alternative is that I could invite artists who are friends of mine, and there are a number of them, and you know who they are. I won't name them on the program right now, but maybe artists could do renderings of the photographs, in which case it would be a drawing that would be fine, and then we could post that story and that recipe and have that piece of artwork that goes with it. So it's a question of doing that, and then, of course, finding the money to publish and bind a book and get it out. But I want you to know that the help that many of you gave me a couple of years ago when Mummy's computer crashed and then recrashed and then crashed one more time after it had been repaired over and over again, that support that you gave me has gone to the book, and the book is ready. And I've told the title, I don't want to say it over the air because I don't want someone to steal my title, because you all love the title so much. So those of you that have been participating with Mummy, you know what the title is. This message that this person gave me also was, Mummy, you keep talking about turkey meatballs. Why? The reason I talk about turkey and chicken meatballs and everything is because I'm living sadly, in a heart-healthy house. I'm trying not to speak too loudly because there's someone in the other room. Mummy is trying to live over the last year or two in a heart-healthy house because I have to be supportive of someone who has to be heart-healthy. So the days of bacon and pork and beef and veal and everything are behind me-ish. My dear friend Lee Gannon, who is not only a vegetarian but is vegan, and God, I have a whole bunch of vegan friends out there, I'm trying to be better, and I have sworn off tons of meat, and I have cut way back, but I still sin on occasion. And so one thing I've been doing for my heart healthy person is to come up with recipes for chicken and turkey, which are a little bit more healthy, and trying to figure out a way of making them delicious. And I am now going to give you one quick thing, a quick little spiel about cooking specifically turkey meatballs. Now, if you're like Mummy was, up until about a year ago, the idea of turkey burgers and turkey meatballs and turkey meatloaf, it was just, oh, God, I felt like I was dealing with Adele Davis or whatever her name was, where she tried to eat healthy. Wasn't it Adele Davis was the healthy eating person like Yul Gibbons? I think it was. And Yul Gibbons used to come on for the Shredded Wheat cartoon, the commercials, and he would say, did you know that you can make a lovely soup out of twigs and pine cones and beetles? And he was like, oh, my God.
Many parts of the tree are edible.
Exactly. See? Mike, Gwendolyn is backing me up.
They are.
Turkey hamburgers are an exercise. I would rather shred shirt cardboard and mix it with water, dust bunnies, and lint from a navel and make it into a burger than eat a turkey burger. They were never good. They were nothing. It was sawdust and moisture. And so it was only about a year ago when I had to start cooking more cleverly, a year and a half ago. And I had to make turkey meatballs. And I began experimenting on how to do it. I went online. I looked up people's recipes. I did everything. And I worked and worked and worked. And the natural chemist and biologist inside of me, because Mummy is a bit of a scientist at heart, took pleasure in turning her kitchen into a lab. And I figured out ways of making turkey meatballs better and better and better. And I'm going to give you just a quick, I've been asked this repeatedly over the last couple of months at dinners with friends and stuff. And whenever I tell them this, their eyes widen and they go, oh my God, oh, that's interesting. Okay. Before I start, I just want you to know that in my book, when it comes out, I'm going to open the chapter on meatballs and then on sauces, tomato sauces, as with this statement. There are as many different recipes for meatballs and for sauces as there are people in Italy. Everyone's grandmother made the best tomato sauce of all time. Everyone's grandmother made the best gravy. And the battles between the words gravy and sauce. And I love how Italians say, no, we call it gravy. No, we call it sauce. If you really, 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 really want to do the research, gravy originally was any tomato sauce or sauce that had a meat product in it, a protein product in it, which made it a gravy. Get it? Gravy. Sauce was any vegetable sauce with no meat in it, with no protein. So strictly a tomato sauce is in fact a sauce. A bolognese is technically a gravy. Now, those terms got jumbled up because Italians hate following rules and hate, you know, they want to say it the way they want to say it, and that's all there is to it. But the bottom line is heritage be damned. Gravy was sauce that had meat products, sausages, ground beef, veal, anything put into it. And sauce was strictly a vegetable sauce with no meat in it. So there, when you're at the next time that you have, a dinner party and there's 12 of you there and 12 Italians and you bring it up, just say, what did your grandmother call it? What did your grandmother call it? And then say, did anyone ever notice that it's really sauce with meat in it is the gravy? And that was what the original slang thing was before everyone began using it or misappropriating it. Okay, back to what I was going to say. I make tomato sauce 1,000 different ways. The whole pleasure of that is to play with your food. And it's the same with meatballs. And I'm going to tell you right now, my meatballs with beef or pork or beef and pork and veal or whatever, and then all the Italian meats ground into them, the specialty meats, all those permutations are as wondrous as Gwendolyn Holden Berry's fragrance table. She's got 500 ingredients and she plays with them. When mummy is in her kitchen, the kitchen with the big window that you all love so much beside the stove, that I can play with all those ingredients over and over and over and over again and do 1,000 different things with them. But, so I encourage you to do that. But when it comes to something as limited as turkey meatballs, although I can't add all those specialty meats in there, the salamis and the whatever, I can still use chicken sausages, or I can use Italian style chicken sausage. I can use spicy chicken sausage. I can use the sweet sausage. I often use combinations of them. I will make my turkey meatballs with both kinds of sausages. I will experiment all over the place, using different ingredients that are all chicken or turkey based. Okay. And I will open the casings, dump out the meat, and then mix that in with the turkey. Next, the turkey is the turkey. It's not like red meat. So it's not like I can do meatballs this week with beef and pork, but no veal. And next week I do it with pork and veal and no beef or whatever. It's turkey, but I can complex it up with different sausages. Here's the really great tip that I give people. Turkey meatballs are so bland. They're very bland unless you do a few things before you make them. What I do always is I mince, and I mean literally mince, onions and garlic, and I saute them heavily. I start with the onions. I saute them until they literally are transparent and maybe even getting a little a little caramelized before I put the garlic in. I don't want to burn the garlic. Garlic needs to be cushioned. When I see Lydia throw garlic into a hot pan, I always gasp because she's smart enough to know that she can only do that for 30 seconds. But many people will throw garlic in a hot pan and then start mincing carrots and everything and not realize their garlic is burning. And once the garlic is bitter, there's no coming back. Always put minced garlic or any garlic in a bed of vegetables, preferably like onions, once you've sweated them all out. That way, the garlic only cooks for a few seconds, a few minutes, a few, like 30 seconds, 60 seconds, but it's been doing it in a bed of onions, okay? Back to the turkey meatballs. I will caramelize those onions and garlic. Sometimes I'll grate carrots in there, or I'll grate carrots and celery in there, making the mirepoix, the sofrito, the so-called sofrito, the holy trinity of onions, celery, and carrots. That is a wonderful, wonderful trio that you can do. But you must sweat them all down so that all the moisture is out of them. You want them to be sweated down. Then you let that mixture cool. You put your breadcrumbs, and by the way, what I use is I will go and get a ciabatta. I'll go and get a roll. I will chop it up in my food processor, and then I will put that in to the turkey mix. I will put one or two eggs to bind it, whole eggs, by the way, and I will put my spices in there. And again, it's Gwendolyn Holdenberry at her perfume table. You can put oregano. You can put thyme. You can put rosemary, parsley, sage. To experiment. Figure out what you'd like to do. Do a tarragon meatball recipe one day. Experiment with what you'd like to do in there. Salt, and I use sea salt, and fresh ground pepper. People who buy pepper, the kind of pepper that you find in a diner that's died years ago in a shaker on a Formica table, that pepper is dead. It's meaningless. Always freshly grind your pepper into recipes. Use sea salt. Morton salt is ridiculous. It's just so blah. Don't use that. Use ingredients that are delightful to you. Explore. Go and get them. Mix that all together. Mix the breadcrumbs in. Mix the onions and the garlic and whatever other vegetables that you've sweated down completely. And then get a bowl of water, dip your fingers in the bowl of water, get an ice cream scoop, dip the ice cream scoop in the water, and begin scooping the balls out, right? And you can decide whether you want the jumbo ones or the nice little discreet ones, and roll them in your hand with your fingers are wet. That keeps it from sticking. And put them on a dinner plate, arrange them on a dinner plate, and get some olive oil. By the way, extra virgin olive oil. People say, oh, Mommy, why don't you use the extra virgin olive oil just for salad dressing? I do, but I also use it to cook in. Oh, but Mommy, you're wasting olive oil when you saute things in it. I don't know. That's like people who say, why would you use Veuve Clicquot champagne for a mimosa? And why would you use really good orange juice? Well, because the ingredients add up to the final product. Good champagne and excellent orange juice tastes like God, right? Junky champagne and, you know, sun-kissed frozen orange juice out of a can that you mixed with water tastes like a bunch of crap. So it's the same with olive oil. Cook with extra virgin olive oil, get a good brand, and believe me, you will notice the difference. You will notice the difference. Saute the meatballs in that, turning them, you know, throw them in them. For those of you that are beginner cooks, when you throw meatballs or any kind of meat into a saute pan with oil, leave it alone. Play with it. People who don't know how to cook begin fiddling and turning and things fall apart and burn in the pan. Let that meatball get brown on one side and then get your spatula under it, gently scoop it up, and roll it over to the side, right? 15 degrees. Are you okay, Gwendolyn?
I heard a dry cough.
With that.
Yeah, well, I'm just fine, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, back to the meatballs. Turn them, get them a little bit golden on all sides, and then put them in a pan in your oven on warm. Like get the pan going at like 200 degrees, and keep loading them in there and do another batch and load them in there and load them in. And do yourself a favor. Do yourself, Gwendolyn, what's going on? What was that?
Well, I don't know.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was strange. Anyway, be sure to make a batch that's big, because that's a lot of work to make meatballs when you're only making 6 or 12. Don't do that. Get a couple of packs of turkey and make yourself 30 or 40 meatballs. That's what Mummy did the other night. You all saw that photograph on my Facebook page. That's what you do. Make a batch so that you can freeze some and you can repurpose them and use them for different things. Make a tomato sauce one night and make a different sauce a different night, or put them in Italian wedding soup. By the way, that wonderful all-clad stock pot that you saw on my stove was Italian wedding soup that I had made from scratch. And that was all of that experimenting again. It was all that experimenting. You put a couple of meatballs in that, and I'm telling you, you've died and gone to heaven. Okay, so folks, you've always asked me for little cooking tips, and there's one right there. Make sure that you saute any vegetables that you're going to put in your meatballs way in advance, and those caramelized flavors, those wonderful caramelized flavors, will add to the turkey meatballs and make them lush. I have served my turkey meatballs to people who didn't know they were turkey meatballs and just thought that they were real meatballs. And they were like, oh my God, these are delicious. And it's because I loaded them with everything but the kitchen sink. I put in the oregano. I put in a few red chili pepper flakes, in the basic mix. Just a little bit, just to give it a little tang. You can't make a mistake when you play like that, when you improvise. And it's all about the exploration. And it's back to the original theme of this program tonight, which is to be expansive, to expand your curiosity. Go to the kitchen and cook. And it's wonderful therapy. It's wonderful. By the way, here's a tip for you. Whether you have good pots or bad pots, never, ever, 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 ever take a pot off the stove or out of the oven and put it into a sink of water. Always let all cookware should go to room temperature before you ever put it in the sink. It doesn't help it clean better because you plunged it into soapy water, molten hot off the stove. All you're going to do is warp your cookware, and you can even crack a pot. Believe it or not, some pots can actually even crack if you plunge them into water after taking them right out of the oven or right off the stove. You would never do it to Creuset. Creuset, you could pop the enamel right off that. I mean, those $900 Creuset pots that are so gorgeous, you have to be so careful. So there's a couple of cooking tips for you, and that's one of the secrets of my turkey meatballs. Another one, put some tomato paste into it. When you're sauteing the vegetables, put a big dollop of the tomato paste in there, especially the toothpaste tube ones. Tomato paste used to come in cans. All the brands are making it in toothpaste tubes now, so it doesn't go bad and it doesn't spoil. So put a big dollop in there, like put 3 or 4 tablespoons in the vegetables when you're sauteing them, and then put that in the meatballs. Incredible. And you can put cheese in the meatballs. If you're not having to be so heart healthy, put a little, Parmigiano Reggiano in there, or, experiment. I want to remind you, I'm looking at the time, that we are normally on Monday nights with Come Now, Don't Sulk, and we are always part of the Blog Talk Radio programming network, and we are always a happy member of the Here Be Monsters Studios, which were founded by Gwendolyn Holden Berry. Gwendolyn, are you when you spend a whole day at your fragrance bench around 7 o'clock at night? What are you? A smoke, a beer, and a peanut butter sandwich? Or I wonder if you ever would want to go to the kitchen and actually cook something after having made fragrances all day.
Well, actually, some of the discombobulation you've heard in my background with somebody who fell asleep in the house and then came out not knowing I was on the air tonight and made a huge racket. And I'm really lucky because most of the time I don't do much cooking anymore. Everybody else does. So there's that. And
But you're a foodie, aren't you? Like me.
Yeah, I have.
Don't you love wonderful food?
Oh God, yeah. I can be a real pretty bad at it too.
And my palate is very, very broad. I love all kinds of food.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, I adore French food. I adore Italian food, and I adore exotic foods, within reason. I mean, I don't know that I'm going to eat Burmese cow eyeballs or something.
I have one for you that everybody and that I know will go, really, except for, of course, my British friends. I like the British smoked mackerel with a fresh bread and Stilton cheese. That's my ideal of a cocktail.
You were laughing. You said you like mackerel and Stilton cheese?
Yeah, fresh bread. It has to be fresh French bread.
Right.
With a smoked mackerel and Stilton cheese.
Wow. Interesting.
And then there's another one. And this, I actually had, you know how they used to cut the bread and dye the bread and, you know, to make little hors d'oeuvres there, the horses over.
Right.
For, I went and met my mom in the 70s in New York when she was there, and it was a Rockefeller fundraiser. And they had on bread sour cream with a smoked oyster and some kind of little hot sauce on top, a drop or two of that, and I loved it.
Oh, that sounds delicious. I adore oysters, but only if they've been fried or smoked or something. I don't like raw oysters at all, but I could live on fried oysters. And that sounds delicious. Sour cream, a smoked oyster, and a little bit of hot sauce. That sounds wonderful. Wonderful.
It is. Because you know, you could buy a can of smoked oysters for nothing. And
yes.
It's just sour cream, a decent sour cream, and I'm a Floridian, so I get crystal hot sauce, and I put it
right.
on. I cut little, you know, little breads out. I use bread, not crackers.
Right. That's wonderful. I just got a note from somebody here on Facebook. They said, "Mommy, talk about your portion control." Well, tonight I posted a picture of an oval tray that I got from Tea Forte, the wonderful gourmet tea company, Tea Forte, and they have wonderful tea serving items, tea balls and tea pots and tea kettles and all sorts. And they had this cute little tea tray, which is just big enough for a cup of tea and a teaspoon and a little bit of honey. And it's like a little serving tray. It's just a little tiny oval. It's very sweet. And I bought a pair of them to serve tea on, you know, when my mother-in-law is here or whatever. Well, I noticed that it held 12 Ritz crackers. And so I am on a diet, as you know, and that's one of the many things I'm going to accomplish on, you know, doing needlepoint and finishing up some projects and cleaning, you know, the closets and doing the silverware drawer and all my little projects. Well, one of them is going to be losing weight. And I have started losing weight, if only because I'm confined to the house. And it's kind of like once you're confined to your house, sort of like prison, you're either going to put on 500 pounds or you're going to lose 500 pounds. I mean, it's going to definitely change your body one way or another. And mine seems to be going slimmer. I seem to be getting slimmer. And one
Lucky
thing I've done
that.
Is I'm doing portion control, and I love Skippy peanut butter on anything. My favorite things are like peanut butter toast is one of the most wonderful foods in the world to me. I'm a very simple girl in many ways. And Ritz crackers with Skippy peanut butter are nectar to me. I've often said that if I ever end up on death row, Skippy peanut butter on crackers or on toast could be my final meal, and I would be perfectly happy. So apropos of that, I did 12 crackers tonight with Skippy peanut butter and was in heaven. And I certainly was being disciplined because I knew if I brought the jar of peanut butter to my computer and a box of Ritz crackers to my computer, it would be gone because I'm a drunk. I'm sick. You know, it's like, you know, I'm a peanut butter drunk. Hi, everybody. My name's Sybil Brunson, and I'm a peanut butter drunk. Hi, Sybil. You know, it's like, so I knew not to bring crackers and peanut butter to my desk and do the show tonight. So I just brought 12 that fit into that tray. I have to eat them in a slow and disciplined manner and savor them so that when they're gone, I've enjoyed them. I just didn't roll my eyes back in my head and wolf them down. So I'm suggesting to people tonight that if dieting is one of your things that you want to do, give yourself treats, but portion control. Try it like Mummy is. Put a certain amount of your favorite jelly beans in a teacup. And that's your portion or something. You know, make sure that you do disciplined portions. Don't bring the orphanage size tub of popcorn to the TV set tonight. You know, an orphanage that can hold 500 children. No, don't do that. Make a cereal bowl size portion of popcorn and then eat that and know that you're eating it. Right. So try doing things like that. That could be fun. By the way, someone asked me a week ago, they know that I love potato chips, and they said, how are you doing that? Are you eating the baked potato chips? I wouldn't touch – I would rather wipe my ass with a baked potato chip than put it in my mouth. I would find more comfort in wiping my entire filthy ass with baked potato chips than putting them in my mouth. But what I do is this. Oh, do. Look, Mommy made a joke there by accident. What I do is I eat real potato chips, but I put them, I open the bag, and I get the individual portions. I put them in a bowl in front of me, and I eat one at a time, and I am aware that while I'm watching TV and putting them in my mouth, I am picking one up and putting it in my mouth and chewing it and savoring it. That way, I've eaten delicious food and known I was doing it, and I accept the calories that I got during that time of pleasure. Baked potato chips are deprivation, and eating three times as many of them is not satisfying. It is not fun. You did not save that many calories, and
what's
you're
your
miserable
favorite?
At the end of it.
What's
Don't
your
you agree?
Favorite? Oh, I agree. What is your favorite potato chip brand?
Skippy is my favorite peanut butter, and I like all peanut butters, but I like that one is far and away. It's funny, American Test Kitchen just called it the best peanut butter in the world.
Yeah,
for me, potato chips are a little trickier. I like Wise potato chips. You know, I had a can of Pringles about, 6 months ago, and that was a stroll down memory lane. I know it was strange, but my favorites still seem to be Wise. Yeah. What are your favorites?
I'm a Lay's person. I like the Lay's.
I love Lay's potato chips, too. Lay's. You know something? I retract. Gwendolyn, you're absolutely right. It's Lay's potato chips are really my favorite. You're right. Yeah.
I have to share with you just the insy teensy potato chip. A friend of mine sent me a bag of potato chips, and I thought, oh, well, they must have just split it with me. It was a friend of mine in New York who I'm just one of the best friends I've had forever. They were edible. And I didn't know it.
Wow.
Yeah, and you only needed one, but I like potato chips. Oh, boy.
Yeah, potato chips would be a real downfall for me. And again, tomorrow, if I don't have Ritz crackers and peanut butter, I'll have a small bag of Lay's potato chips, and that will be my portion control. And I will know while I'm eating them that was delicious and wonderful, and I will feel satisfied. I'm looking at the time, and it seems that we've run out of our own portion of this program tonight. So I'm going to invite all of you to join Gwendolyn and me next Monday night at 8 p.m., Eastern Daylight Time or your corresponding time zone. Gwendolyn, I love you. Thank you for spending tonight with me.
I love you too. Thank you, Mommy, for coming on tonight.
Okay. Well, we will see everyone next week. Gwendolyn, take us on out of here. Good night, everybody.
Good night.